We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the study session of the University City Council meeting to order at 5 p.m. on November 13th, 2023. Are there any changes to the regular agenda prior to the subject matter for the study session? Hearing nothing, Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, on October the 6th, the Planning Commission adopted the comprehensive plan for the city. Tonight, I have asked John Wagner, who's our Director over Planning and Development, to brief you on this matter and to so that you can provide any direction regarding possible changes that you might have. So, Dr. Wagner?
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Mayor Crowe, council members. So tonight we finally finished the draft of the comprehensive plan that was adopted by the Planning Commission, as you know. My echoing. Okay. Did that help? Ooh. Sound like I'm in a canyon somewhere. Is that better? Yeah. Back up a little.
Unless it is disturbing to the mayor and council, I think we can proceed and while they work on it.
Okay. As soon as Thomas
freaking out, let me open the Zoom.
Well, I could probably cover the first couple of slides anyway while Thomas gets everything back up. This is one of possibly two meetings, the other one, of course, being on the 27th of March, November, excuse me. So we're going to highlight, I'm going to highlight some of the process that it went through to get where we are.
Make sure you're muted.
It's freaking out.
Did that help? Ah, there we go. Thanks, Brooke. There we go. Thank you, Thomas. There we go. Thank you, Thomas. So I'm going to talk about the process I went through just briefly. I know we've been before you before. And then our senior planner, Mary Kennedy, is going to talk about the plan content and implementation of the plan, which is really important. And we were talking the other day, and nobody ever wins a prize for awards for a plan unless it's been implemented well. So a plan sits on a shelf, it doesn't get a lot of attention. And then we're going to talk about next steps. And Peggy Holly, the Plan Commission Chair, is going to say a few words as well before we dive into the conversation. So the plan really builds on existing work that's been done to date and very broad community support. The Plan Commission has been really, really involved in this, much more than any other city that I've seen in adopting the plan. We also heard from department directors. We spoke with each department about the plan, and we took input from them and incorporated that. Also very important is we took previous work that's been done in the city, most notably the 2040 vision, which where the comprehensive plan effort really picked up where that left off, as well as the economic development strategy and numerous other works. In fact, I think the comprehensive plan is really a solid framework for adoption of those other, for implementing the other plans and vice versa. They provide a nice framework for the comprehensive plan and getting some of those issues done. We did a really multifaceted public engagement effort. And we had a lot of support from and feedback from the boards and commissions. We went to each of the commissions, the Senior Commission, Historic Preservation, and we took some of their comments and incorporated it into the plan. So it was really a robust involvement. It's certainly a unique plan for the University City, as all comprehensive plans are and should be. Articulates the specific actions the city should take to realize and bring to life the community's vision, responds to challenges and opportunities, and we have both, and incorporates contemporary best practices in planning and land development too. So it's a broad effort. Chapter 3 rather has the action items that are really the heart of the plan. And we have broad support from the community in this as well. And these were presented to you back on July 10th, if I'm not mistaken. And they address history in the city, some issues with segregation, certainly planning and land use issues relative to flooding. That certainly is a big topic these days. Proactively addresses vacancy and property maintenance, something I'm keenly interested in as well. Talks about strengthening the Olive Boulevard corridor and promoting walkability and safety. Those were paramount to the plan and many, many more things. Like I said, it's the heart of the plan, really. Plan Commission actively engaged other boards and commissions, like I mentioned before. We talked to the Park Commission, Commission on Senior Issues, the Library Board, the Green Practices Commission, Urban Forestry Commission, Commission on Stormwater Issues, and I think we had a couple more that may have come in today that Peggy may tell you about as well. Future character and land use map is also an integral part of the comprehensive plan, and they are any comprehensive plan, really. It's a character-based approach, as the plan outlines in the start of Chapter 4. Draws on plans and research since the last plan was adopted. The last plan was adopted in 1999, I believe, updated in 2005. So we were well overdue to have an update. Provides guidance on potential future zoning and other code changes, traffic issues, that try to be as flexible as we can with what's going on in the communities, economic upturns or downswings, pandemic, I'm sure, had put a crimp in a lot of comprehensive plan implementation throughout the country in the last few years. So we try to stay as nimble as we can as we implement it. First two stages were, of course, the community setting the vision. And then we, like I said, we built off the 2040 vision that was done before the comprehensive plan. And since last year, we did the analysis and the plan development. So it was from October of, so it was about a year ago, right about now, to about 3 weeks ago, actually. And we did two rounds of public engagement during that. And I think we had a really nice result of the public engagement. I think it was 500 or 600 survey results, which may not seem like a tremendous amount, but for these sorts of things, I think we did pretty well. So now I will turn it over to Ms. Kennedy for discussion of the content and the implementation. Thank you.
Thanks, John, and good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. So as John described, the first two stages of the plan, which have gotten us to date, the next stage is really implementing the plan. So once it's approved is really when all of the work begins. We've done a lot of work to get to this point, but the comprehensive plan just sets us up for more work, which is good. So all of the policies and programs that the plan outlines will require more council input and action as we go forward. So this just sets the foundation for that work, and there will be a lot more detailed work involved in each action item that's in the plan. So in order to manage that implementation, we'll be regularly monitoring the plan for the progress that we're making, and as time goes on, how relevant the action items are as changes in the economy occur, pandemics, trends in development, demand for retail, etc. In the plan, it states that updates should occur at least every 5 years, but that can always happen sooner if there's some kind of major change that would trigger it. It's also important to remember that the city itself is not the only entity that will be working to move the plan forward. We'll be collaborating with individuals and entities on implementation as well, such as local and regional community organizations and other units of government, such as St. Louis County and MoDOT. Really important to implementing the plan and moving it forward is integrating it into our city processes so that it's not just sitting on the shelf and we're not taking action on it. We need to make sure we integrate it in how we're operating. One of the major ways of doing that is by updating our codes, particularly the zoning code. So this sets the foundation for those changes. It doesn't actually make zoning changes. But there are other important codes that the comprehensive plan does recommend updating. So traffic code, floodplain management, building codes, and property maintenance codes. So regulatory updates are really key in implementing this work. The comprehensive plan will also be used to evaluate development approvals going forward because it sets the tone for how land will change over time, or land uses will change over time. I'm not sure what that is. That a Zoom? I'll just keep going. In addition to that, integrating the plan's recommendations and actions into the city's budgets and work plans are really critical in implementation. I don't think I can move it forward. All of these activities here on how to integrate into our city processes are described more in the plan in Chapter 5 implementation. So there's a little more detail on how we would go about all of these. As mentioned before, there's a lot of work ahead. Approving the plan is the first step. The council will be involved in all of those steps, but of course, they can't do everything. So there are lead coordinators and supporting entities identified for each action item, and then a recommended time frame for implementation. So those are short, medium, and long term, and then ongoing. So ongoing are things we'll be doing throughout the entire implementation of the plan. But there are specific actions assigned to the city council, and we've included these on these slides. So there are two on this slide, and then there's one more on the next slide. The first one is realign citizen opportunities for government participation and engagement. And then the next, and that would be the city council being the lead coordinator on that, and then a supporting role for establishing a community volunteer community leadership or neighborhood liaison program. And then I won't read through this entire one, but this one is talking about evaluating all of the city's boards and commissions and task forces to evaluate proper coverage, but not duplicative coverage, and how we can best align our citizens who want to be involved into city operations. And then I'll give it back to John.
Thank you, Mary. The next steps, really immediate next steps anyway, are to discuss the plan this evening with you, of course, and we can also take questions after tonight. In order to have them addressed, because it's a holiday next week, we would have to have any comments before probably the 20th, which is next Monday, and in order to get them into the packet for on Tuesday. The REIT tells me we have to get them ready by Tuesday. So,
Dr. Wagner, quick question yes. for you. Do you want the mayor and council to provide questions as you go through the sections, or do you want them to provide, what is that process going to look like?
Whatever is most convenient for the mayor and council. We could certainly take some tonight. We have plenty of time to talk about tonight, and we were hoping to have a robust conversation as well. But if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with a burning question, we're certainly happy to take that later as well. Whatever is most convenient for you. And then we would be willing to and ready to talk about it in 2 weeks from tonight, November 27th. And then whatever changes you would recommend tonight or 2 weeks from tonight, we would, the Plan Commission, if it's something that would need to be voted on by the Plan Commission as a change, the Planning Commission will meet on December 6th and consider the requested changes by the City Council to the plan. And then that would give you time on at the City Council meeting on December 11th to vote for it either in resolution form or just a voice vote. I'm not sure how that works. And then later in December, we'll share the document broadly by posting it, certainly on the website and so on and so forth, and then move forward in January with implementation and developing metrics to evaluate the plan and monitor the performance of it. So, and now, before we get into discussion, Chair of the Plan Commission, Peggy Holly, wanted to say a few words as well.
Thank you, Dr. Wagner. Good evening, Mayor, City Manager, members of the Council. Thank you, first of all, for all the work that you have done. As long as the Plan Commission and I have lived with 157 pages of this, it is no small task to wade through this and decide on the things that you care about and that you have questions about. So thank you for your time. Thanks to the Plan Commission. You know, we talked about the process to produce the plan, but there was a year before that we spent visioning. So they have all been working, as have you, for 2 years as we work our way through this process. And most of them are here tonight. The advisory committee. So as a part of the planning process, we engaged a broader section of the community to be part of that process on a regular basis. And some of them are here this evening as well. And thanks to our citizens. I mean, they showed up at workshops, they completed surveys, they gave us feedback, and they really gave us the direction. And that meant that the direction is not just about zoning, right? It really is a comprehensive plan to talk about zoning, to talk about traffic, to talk about our building codes, to talk about how we engage our community. And so there was a lot of great feedback from all kinds of people from University City. And the theme is universal. Everybody loves living here. But our two big themes are we need to deal with our history of racial segregation and what that has meant for opportunities for our citizens. And secondly, it is time for us to address flooding. What is remarkable to me is that as we talked with the boards and commissions around the city, and thanks to all of you for the work that you do with those boards and commissions, because that's obviously more time and gave you an opportunity to see a deeper dive into some of these issues. Those boards and commissions came back with support. We have copy. We have real, no kidding, letters from Urban Forestry, Green Practices, the Commission on Senior Issues, the Library Board, The Parks Commission gave us a solid vote of endorsement. The historic preservation letter is coming. And we have a letter from former Mayor Shelley Welch endorsing the plan. So this plan really is about recognizing, you know, not only where we are today, but the changes that have happened since 2005 when this was published, right? I don't know about you, but back in 2005, I had a terminal on my desk. My office assistant was lucky enough to have a PC. I think there were two on the floor that I worked on of almost 500 people. So the world is different. And our boards and commissions and our staff have done remarkable work since then to address the issues in our city. And those reference documents have been a part of the development of the draft that you have looked at. And we actually have for you a list of those reference documents that were used, as well as an additional reading list, because this plan commission is just absolutely remarkable in the resources that they bring forward. So I think everyone has brought articles, studies, and other resources to educate all of us as we put this together. And again, I want to say thanks to the staff. Mary Kennedy, John Wagner have just been remarkable support for the commission and for the work that's been done.
Thank you, Peggy. The procedure for going next is what, Dr. Wagner?
Sure, we would be happy to entertain any questions, suggestions.
Are there questions from members of council for either Dr. Wagner or for those members of the Planning Commission or staff? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. And thanks to the Planning Commission staff. This is a monumental task. We appreciate it. We lean on you guys at the Planning Commission a lot, and that's why we appreciate all that you've done, not just on this, but lots of work that's gone through the city. And we're just eternally grateful for the work you've done. I mean, this is wonderful. As I look at it, and I think I get, when we talk about these documents, I get torn between the overarching goals and the details. And I don't think I have disagreements with goals and overarching ideas and things that we want to move towards. It's the details that may not even be here yet, so that we could even talk about them. Mm-hmm. For example, the one thing that just caught my eye was when we're talking about developing walkable areas and different types of housing, then we're balancing that with making sure we're trying to keep the character of the neighborhoods intact. And so between those kind of two different dueling ideas, I'm thinking to myself, when I got on council, we were asking for an infill review board. We haven't seen it. That's 7 years or so. What's the timeline to create something that would balance? So which comes first? If we start developing these things without the balance of keeping the character, we'll have residents that say, Steve, what happened to infill review? So it's that process of getting to the detail so that we can see where this will go. How do I wrap my head around that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does, Councilmember McMahon. I think they kind of happen simultaneously. I mean, obviously the metrics have to come first and how we measure some of this stuff, but also some of it's not all quantitative in nature. Certainly it is qualitative, which is the character-based approach. So I kind of think they happen maybe simultaneously, maybe one's a little bit ahead of the other, but does that help? Maybe not.
I mean, it does, but at the same time, I'm envisioning if we have folks that want to come into U City and the developers are the develop, you know, anybody that wants to develop a vacant lot or tear down and build, they may beat us to the punch. I mean, that's going to be ongoing as this process is ongoing.
And we have to give them a process and standards to review these projects by, really, I think.
So, I mean, everyone agrees. And that's, maybe I'm just saying, it's just that maybe it's my own impatience of, I like this. I see where it's going. I want to be sure that we have it together. Otherwise, that's why the plan gets put on the shelf, I think. Because
of course,
as progress continues, we're taking what we have and we're checking it off and we're building and we're doing things, and it's important work. But at the same time, we had these wonderful ideas that as time moves forward in actual time with construction. So I guess I'm just saying we need to keep this implementation and the progress moving forward as much as the emergencies we all have throughout the city with another, you know, catastrophe or things.
And it may need to be amended from time to time based on what happens in the community. But yeah, the metrics are important. And if, which is why we can look back, if whatever metrics we come up with, whatever we can look at it 2, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road and say, hey, we did a pretty good job with this, or now we kind of messed up over here. Let's see if we can correct that. So, and like I said, some of it's qualitative in nature. So that makes it a bit more difficult to put a number on or to, in words escaping me, to review, to grade, so to speak, or rate. So.
Mr. Fuller.
I really, again, thank all of you. I also want to point out to anybody who's viewing this that this advisory committee sat down with us separately as council people and have done that. And I want to thank you for all of that. I think this thing that Mr. McMahon's getting at is something that's worked in my head when I reviewed this. Was last plan was 2005. We're almost 20 years down the road. You know, I bear to say that.
It's a bit late.
I'd like to really, we were talking about reviewing this. I think a suggestion or perhaps something that we could plan into this before we literally put it into action is that we have a comprehensive review plan of pieces and articles annually, and then maybe move forward to putting a plan together where we do a all inclusive review, maybe every 3 years or every 5 years, and maybe, you know, another part of the planning thing or suggestion would be as a subsection of the planning commission, have a representative from each of our commissions assigned to just that review on the annual basis. So a person on the stormwater, person out of traffic, and we would have a review. I think a review process to keep this moving forward on an annual basis as
kind of helps prevent mission creep or just kind of slowly getting away. Exactly. Then look back 10 years and say,
And then if we have another event, and you know, I don't want to say how can we top the flood, but some major event or something that happens in the meantime that we had no idea would be down the road, maybe 5 years down the road, that we have this ongoing review and not let it sit on the shelf for 20 years. I think that needs to be put in here in the beginning. Suggestion.
Agreed. Yeah.
Mr. Hales.
Thank you. My question is probably best for Mr. Rose. Over your career, and this is not your first rodeo with comprehensive plans. How have you seen from your experience, and how would you propose that we as a city, you know, plans are great so long as you work the plan. How has that looked for you in other experiences?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Hales, I think it's what's most important is that you have a clear understanding of what's included in the comprehensive plan. In this comprehensive plan, it references some plans, such as the stormwater master plan, that has not been created at this time. I also believe that there has to be an appreciation for what are the fiscal impacts of the plan, both as it relates to infrastructure, as well as if there is guidance that in reflects that you should change land uses. So what's the economic impact to the city for doing that? I believe that the intention is to go through the sections of the plan and identify those areas that we believe are the most important components of the plan, being those that have possibly the greatest financial impact. So that's typically what happens. And I think that we've allotted enough time for that to occur in this instance as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Well, first off, I would like to say to Ms. McQueen, happy birthday. And you're very dedicated to be coming to a city council meeting on your birthday. Thank you for all of your work. My question, and it may be, I'm not sure who this goes to, and you may want to just hit this one back to me, is as we go through, I saw the commissions that had participated in this, we have always considered the loop to be our downtown. And we have the ownership of the loop buildings where the two largest landowners have transferred their properties now to new owners, one to a taxable owner, one to a non-taxable owner. And you guys have, meaning the Planning Commission, of course, staff as well, have been working on what we sort of generally call the Commerce Bank site. So I guess my question to all of you, if you're talking about our downtown, you're talking about clearly an area that's been in transition and also where it's got a higher vacancy rate than it's had in some time. I'm just curious to the outreach and conversations that may have occurred with either landowners or business owners in the loop. And many of them don't live necessarily in University City. So by the way, this isn't any kind of a trick question. I'm just curious about the engagement with the LSBD or the loop and owners.
So we actually spent quality time with the LSBD on multiple occasions, talking with them about the plan and its development. And they in turn, very early on, assigned an LSBD board member to be a part of the advisory committee. So the LSBD has been tied to this effort since day one.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Ms. Klein.
Yeah, I have. Thank you again for all your work and this amazing plan. I just had a follow-up question from Mayor Crow's question. In terms of private development and private business that, is included in the goals of this plan, are we inviting businesses to participate in our goals, or is it more of guiding through zoning and ordinance for compliance to have them comply? Is it more inviting or
yeah, I guess inviting is a good word. We would try to make reworking of the zoning ordinance would make it more inviting in some ways to build in University City and develop certain parts, redevelop certain parts. So it's a little bit of both. We kind of not the change the ordinance and they will come type of thing, but that's that. But if the zoning ordinance is an impediment to some, they may not view it as a worthwhile opportunity to do something in the city, where if the zoning ordinance was changed, maybe they would. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. So kind of trying to strike a balance.
Yeah, exactly. A balance.
Keeping things open. And
a balance.
And guiding businesses to mm-hmm. go with our goals. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Right. Other questions? Hearing none at this time, what I would say to all of the members of the Planning Commission and to our planning staff is that I think that you, as we have said to you folks on so many occasions, I think the comfort that is brought to all of the seven of us up here is the dedication and the trench warfare that you folks have been in for the past several years. I think your meetings go longer than our meetings go. And that's a little unfair to all of you. But by the way, we appreciate that immensely. I know that we have another session scheduled. And what I would ask of any of you, Dr. Wagner, and any of the members of the Planning Commission, if there are particular areas you'd like us to spend time on so that there's a little bit more engagement with you, if you'd please let us know, we'd be happy to do so. But I do think that you can sense from all of us that there doesn't seem to be a great deal of conflict between what you folks have been working on and what we desire as well. And so to those of you on the Planning Commission and to those of you who are on the advisory board, we can't thank you enough for the work product that you as well as staff have put together.
I would like to, if you don't mind, in building off Mr. Rose's comments on the 27th, kind of draw out some more of those fiscal impacts, which are really critical, particularly for local governments, those parts of the plan that are where that's most relevant, I think, if that's okay with you and okay with Mr. Rose.
Dr. Wagner, certainly I think that the fiscal impacts is one area where we would want to ensure that the council is fully informed about what is proposed. I also think that the impact on staffing is another area that that we will want to ensure they are fully informed, because if I start asking for multiple positions, then I would suspect they're going to want to know where that's coming from.
Indeed. Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
I believe Ms. Hartz, did you have a question? Or you may, because people are watching by Zoom, you probably need to come to your microphone.
I'm Ellen Hartz, and I'm a Plan Commission member. And I wanted to say to Mr. McMahon that you said in one of your comments that you didn't want to have a developer be able to get ahead of us. And I think with you and with us, that's not going to happen. That we're pretty tough and we get it first. And then you get it. So I don't think that's a big concern. So I think you can put that away.
Well, we believe that if history repeats itself, that's usually when a developer comes to see me, I usually let them know that the toughest meeting is with you guys. The longest meeting is with you guys. And if you come our way, then normally they've got a little bit of wind in their sail. So we agree. Doctor, anything else for us this evening?
No, sir. I don't believe so. We'll return here in 2 weeks with addressing fiscal impacts and staffing impacts, and happy to address anything else should you think of between now and then.
If anyone has anything between now and then, please do not hesitate to contact Dr. Wagner through the city manager, and we'll go forward and return to this on the 27th. Thank you, folks, for coming out this evening.
Thank you.
Study session adjourned.
I'm sorry. Oh, Peggy was kind enough to bring in some jellies, cupcakes, for the occasion and to celebrate Pat's birthday. So.